Blog Talk Radio.
We're back here live, Solon Sports, Fox Sports, 96.6. What's the number? Doesn't matter, because we're on, you're already listening. What's going on, people? It is Friday, June 9th. Could be the last day of the NBA season, of the 2016-2017 NBA season. And then we got the draft, then we got Summer League. Sixers fans like me are looking forward to the draft and Summer League. I don't know what everybody else is looking forward to. But that's what I'm looking forward to, the draft and the summer league. Let's get through this first. 347-637-3859 is the number to call. Today is the hour in Power and Sports. We're off at 6 p.m. So give us a call and give us your opinions. Today we're going to break down Game 3 of the NBA Finals, a game that I want to know, do you think the Cavaliers should have came away with that game? Should they? How were the Warriors able to did they steal the game, in your opinion? How were they able to do that? I was watching the game. I thought it was a wrap. I thought it was 2-1. We got a series. Not necessarily. It's 3-0 series now. Warriors up 3-0 with a chance to close it out tonight. Which brings us to the next question. Is this series over? Is the series over? I think most 99.9% of the people outside of Cleveland and outside of LeBron James' followers would say, yes, this series is over. However, that will bring us to the next question in this series of questions. Will it be a sweep? The Warriors are up 3-0 right now at this point. Will they close it out tonight, or will they have a hiccup? Will they be looking too far ahead? Hit us up, 347-637-3859. And also in this hour of Power in Sports, we're going to compare these Warriors, Dub Nation, to some of the greatest teams in NBA history. You know, the Lakers, the Bulls, the Celtics. Let's compare them to the 83 Sixers, which many experts say was the greatest team ever put together for one season. It's pretty good. Moses Malone came and just turned the whole thing around. Agent Dr. J. He's on his way out 4 years later, 3 years later, something like that. But I want to know what you think. What about the Bad Boy Detroit teams? Could the physicality of those Bad Boy Detroit teams overcome the rangy shooting and the hot shooting of these Steph Curry, KD, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green Warriors? Draymond Green is a physical player in his own. I think he would have done well on those Bad Boy Detroit teams. He is from Michigan. Am I correct in saying I think he's from Michigan? Michigan State grad. He is from he might be from that Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids, Detroit area. I'm not sure. I don't know. I've got to look it up. Let's get our researcher Vaughn on that. Let me know where Draymond Green is from. That might be where he gets that toughness from. But without further ado, like I said, this is a 60-minute show today. Hour and Prowess is the fast break. Oh, and let's not forget Dumpgate, or should I say Air Dumpgate, just brought to my attention recently. Did Steph Curry take a air dump on the Cleveland Cavaliers court? I see the video. At first, when I saw the video, I said, yes, that looks like an air dump. But I want to see it from different angles. I want to see what Kevin Durant was doing during that, because, you know, he's off camera at the time. It's a sketch because, you know, Steph Curry is that clean cut, cookie cutter, family, God and the squad type guy. You don't expect to see that from a Steph Curry, do you? With your kids loving Steph Curry? People, I like to say, you know, that Michael Jordan did things LeBron can't do. Jordan would never do that. I don't think Jordan would ever take an air dump. Has he? I don't know. I don't think Jordan would ever take an air dump. I don't think LeBron would take an air dump. Did Steph Curry take an air dump? Let's bring in the fellas, 347-637-3859. We are here. The fellas are here. What's going on, guys?
What's going on, Jay Chris?
How's my man, Hugo. I ain't heard your voice in a while, man. How you been?
I'm doing good, man. Just, you know, I'm marinating in something that I said before, after game one was over, man. And I was ridiculed by saying, I'm afraid this is going to be a sweep. And guess what? We're against a sweep. Jay Chris, is it going to happen tonight? I guess we'll talk about it in just a little bit, man.
Definitely want to get your opinion on that. My man Micah is here. Emmy Richmond on the Twitter. What's going on, Micah?
Oh, my brother, I am. My Emmy Richmond, and tell your brother, I got the skills that pay the bills. I ain't got no chill, and I don't chill. And you know what? You can't teach that. But something else you can't teach. How about this, J. Chris? 2 years with Fox Sports, the solar sports, been a part of this great station and running it every which way, up and down, and all across the nation. Because the bars are on point today. Let's go get it. Like, go to St. May, get this broomstick out tonight. Oh, crap. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, you know, Micah, what I usually say when I've been somewhere a while, and when I've been somewhere a while, and you know, like you said, I forgot to mention it. I was just talking about it. 2 years, we're going into our third year here in the Solon Sports, right here on Fox Sports, and I usually say it's a line from the Cosby Show. It was a doctor. I don't know what kind of doctor he was. I forgot what the episode was about, but he said, "I've been here 22 years. I'm not going anywhere, and no one asked me to." Well, I'm going to adjust that a little bit because I like to troll. It's what I do. We've been here 2 years, going on our third. We're not going nowhere. Can't say nobody's asked us and hasn't asked us to though. But we're still here. How about that?
Friendship and you can't teach that.
Cash me outside. So breaking down game three, guys, of the NBA Finals. Breaking down game three, which it was a good game, probably the best game of the series thus far. All right, came down to the end of the fourth quarter as opposed to the other two games, which basically didn't. We have the Warriors going up 3-0. The Cavaliers, of course, and this game reeked of a game that the Cavaliers should have won. They were able to contain, or should I say, keep up with the Warriors the entire time. And at times they were taking leads late in the game and had the lead late in the game up until a timely 3-pointer by Kevin Durant. And we'll get into the breakdown of that shortly. But what you kind of have is what happened? What happened to the Cavaliers there? They had the game in hand. They had the game in hand. I just want to get your guys' opinion. What happened there? Why are the Cavaliers not in a position to tie the series tonight? Why are they in a position now that they're fighting for their series and season life? Micah, I'll give you the floor on this one.
All right. I'm just going to say it very, very plainly. I'm going to start with this.
I'm not going to stand here and listen to this baloney. He won't eat. He doesn't stand for baloney.
And that baloney is all the people who want to treat LeBron James with kid gloves and not point out that he had two open lane drives where he could have took upon himself to score and to draw a foul on both Iguodala and on Draymond Green, who had 5 fouls at the time. Late in the game, taking out Draymond Green would have been one of the biggest factors to pulling that game out. But because you didn't take him out, he was still an additional threat on the offensive end when KD came down and dropped that three to go for the go-ahead score, which is what subsequently helped them win that game. Now, I'm also saying this. I understand LeBron James is not Michael Jordan. Heck, he's not even Kyrie. Because people like Russell Westbrook and Kyrie, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, these kinds of players want to kill you themselves. And they want to take you to the woodshed and pummel you with their own strength. Cool. LeBron James is a deferrer. He wants to get the open shot to let somebody else take that dagger. He don't have to necessarily do it. People saying LeBron James is tired. The heck he is. He may be winded, but the brother ain't tired. He had a whole month of rest going through the Eastern Conference, just like the Golden State went through the Western Conference. Don't give me that crap. He's not tired. What he is his own player. He doesn't stink. He's not a stone-cold killer in the sense that he will take it upon himself to finish the job. But those two drives would have been key drives because LeBron in Cleveland, with the way the referees were calling that game, he would have got a foul. He would have got the and one had he made it. All he had to do was sink his free throws, and it doesn't matter what they go and say would have done on the other end. They would have probably already got ready, got themselves mentally ready for game four. And that's why they lost that game. Not because LeBron James is hurt. Not because LeBron James was tired. Not because LeBron James sucked at life. It's because LeBron James' game killed the Cavs when it counted the most. Because Golden State gave him layups. They gave him open layups and open dunks. I'm sorry, Draymond Green is a decent defender, but one-on-one, full spacing, with a wide-open right lane, LeBron had him. Plus, he had 5 fouls. LeBron had him.
Well, there's not too many people that can guard LeBron James one-on-one for a whole series. I mean, LeBron James can take advantage of just about anybody in the NBA. Hugo, how do you feel about what Micah just said?
We've seen it before, haven't we? We've seen LeBron James. Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. I have something on my throat.
No. Hot sword your throat. Don't disrespect him like that. Don't you disrespect him like that? He ain't KD. He's not Kevin Durant.
He's choked up before, Micah. He's choked up before. You mean to tell me LeBron James has never been in this position where he's choked up before? You mean to tell me that? Against the Dallas Mavericks when he was with the Miami Heat? I believe it was game five, if I'm not mistaken.
Game five.
Micah, come on. It was 6 years ago or 7 years ago where this happened. I'm going to be honest with you, man. LeBron James, at the end of the day, yes, I do have a lot of resentment towards what he did to the people of Cleveland. You know, I mean, he obviously then went to Miami, won a couple championships, had the super team, and then came back. And you know what? He made his redemption. But this is – we've seen this LeBron James before where he's been phenomenal for 3.5 quarters, and then all of a sudden he chokes up. I'll be honest.
Well, you know what, Hugo, you bring up something that I want to jump on. And there's a couple of LeBron James points I want to get on here. And
blind tag.
I'm sorry. I forgot the rules. It's been a while. I forgot the rules. LeBron, you said what LeBron James did to the people of Cleveland. Okay. Now, I'm not taking away from anything of that statement. We never talk about what LeBron James did to the people of Miami. Okay, let's break this down a little bit. All right, LeBron James was saw the writing on the table in Cleveland and said, "Look, I'm not getting what I need here. Let's go to play with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Miami, blah blah blah. Super team, win a couple championships, boom." During that time, Dwayne Wade loses a step, slows down. Also, you have, you know, Chris Bosh with his health issues. And LeBron had an option to come back to Miami, but decided to go back to Cleveland, who had a rising star in Kyrie Irving. Also had the number one pick in the draft. So he kind of left Miami for a better situation back home in Cleveland. So I don't know that the Miami people can have a gripe too. And you're down there, Hugo, you could talk about it. One more thing I want to talk about. Something that we do with LeBron James that I don't know if it's fair. And I know we've talked about it on many occasions. I don't know if it's fair, but is it really fair to are we putting our own expectations on LeBron? Do we expect him to be a killer because Kobe was a killer? Because Mike was a killer? Do we expect Reggie Miller was a killer too? He just wasn't as good as Mike Kobe. But are we putting those expectations on LeBron? And whereas he has never been that player through his entire career, of course, we saw his high school career, so we can really say his entire career, he's always been a distributor. He's always been that guy to get everybody else involved. Is it fair for us to put that on him?
I mean, let's be real one thing. When you think about greatness, you think about Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. So you put them in that plethora of players. You put LeBron James in that plethora of players where you're expected to deliver. Has he delivered before? Absolutely. However, how many times have we seen this inconsistency from LeBron James? We've seen it plenty of times where it has mattered. So, Kobe Bryant was a killer. Michael Jordan was a killer. You expect for LeBron James to also be a killer. And he has proved us time and time again that he has the tendency to choke it up. And that's exactly what he did game 3 against the Golden State Warriors when they were up by, what was it? I think it was by 5 with a minute and 30 to go. There shouldn't be a reason why with that squad, LeBron, Kyrie, Smith, all these players against the superstar team that they, I'm not going to say dominated, but they kept toe-to-toe with in the Golden State Warriors and kept them in check.
And I think that's really all you need to do is be able to keep up with them to win the game.
That's it.
Because in that, because see, a lot of people don't understand the weakness of the Golden State Warriors lies in their turnover margin. That's the weakness of the Golden State Warriors. If you can't exploit anything, is their ability to turn over. Why? Because they're bored and they're cocky. Like you were talking about with Steph Curry. I'm sorry, Steph Curry ain't no clean cut little that little, as my wife's been calling him, that little rat has been a showboat. Since he's he's been more recognizable for his shooting talent. So that brother's been a showboat for a while, you know. So he's been, you know, kicking stuff, doing Chippendale dance moves, you know, when he was shooting his threes, and you know, he's been trust me when I tell you, he's not a clean cut dude when it comes to it. I mean, someone needs to tell him and Kevin Durant to get a Murray's pomade. And a hair and a broad bristle hairbrush and a do-rag because they sloppy.
347-637-3859. We're breaking down game 3 of the NBA Finals. We're talking is the series over? I want to get opinions on the guys. Like I said, anybody outside of Cleveland and the LeBron James follower is saying that this series is over with the Cavs being down 3-0. But I want to know, will it be a sweep? Will the Cavaliers be able to pull it out tonight and extend the game, extend the series, you know, over the weekend, beyond this weekend? I want to know. You know, the NBA will probably surely like that to happen, but then again, we could be seeing history in faux. Okay? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just Google Moses Malone. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about right there. And Moses Malone was faux, but anyway, I digress. What's going to happen? Vaughn says it's going to be a sweep. He says the series is over tonight. Forget about it. Good night. Put the women and children to bed. It's over. It's a wrap. It's done. Complete, kaput, finito. Hugo, I'm going to start with you. Is the series over tonight?
I told you all, after game one, especially what we see with the Golden State Warriors, that I'm afraid this could turn into a sweep. I said, I hope it didn't happen. I wanted to go to seven games because we deserve to see this series go to seven games. I'm going to be honest with you. This is a motivation killer for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I am predicting now what I did not want to happen, and I said it after game one that we could see a sweep. I am calling it tonight, J. Chris, Micah. My fears will come true. The Golden State Warriors will sweep the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then we'll see what happens around the future of LeBron James.
Micah, what do you think? React to what Hugo was saying.
I honestly, in my heart of hearts, do not believe that after what the Cavs were able to do. And I understand that things, you know, the ejection and all that kind of stuff happened. Hopefully, #AirDumpGate, will inspire them to at least get very, very chippy to the point where Dante Jones can finally, you know, go in there and do his role, which is take out Steph Curry. Maybe LeBron James will activate his Illuminati friends, and maybe he'll
blind tag,
you know,
Micah. I want to inject the blind tag. I know I'm probably breaking the rules now. I think you only get one, but I'm going to put real quick. Dante Jones. Anybody ever notice? Every time they go to break and they go to the Cavaliers bench, Dante Jones is talking to a referee. However, Dante Jones has not played a second in the game. Anybody ever notice
that?
True. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Micah.
It's been weird. No. I mean, it's been weird. That is kind of awkward, but I believe Golden State is still going to win this series, and I still believe it's going to be in six. I believe that the Cavs are going to go down fighting and going down fighting hard. So I don't believe they're going to win this game tonight. I don't believe that Golden State is going to win this game tonight. I see the Cavs winning. It's going to be just as close as it was last night, but they're going to actually pull it out this time.
So you say after tonight the series is 3-1? That's what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. You can lock that.
Okay. Ooh, lock it up Friday. Well, you find the sound and you lock that up while I give you my take. Tonight, the series will end. Okay? The series will end. But this is what I'm expecting to see. I'm expecting to see a high rate of physicality from the Cavaliers, being that they're fighting for their series and season life here. Okay, I expect to see a lot of that physicality being with, of course, one Steph Curry, but I expect a lot of it being with Draymond Green, and I expect them to try to get under Draymond's skin, see if they can get him out for the game. You know, maybe get two technical fouls in the game. Draymond Green is really going to have to keep his head tonight. They're probably talking to him right now. Look, you got to stay cool tonight. We need you tonight. You got to stay cool. I expect there to be some nose to nose moments. Nose to nose. Knock your mother off my shoulder, whatever people used to say. I expect there to be a few of those moments tonight because, honestly, I really believe outside of Draymond Green, I think the feeling around the league is the Warriors are actually soft. They're a soft team. Okay. I think that the Cavaliers probably feel that they are a more physical team and can intimidate these guys. You're going to need a big game from one J.R. Smith. You're going to need 47 to 48 minutes. We're going to say it again, 47 to 48 minutes on the court from LeBron James, not 45 like the other day. I said it the other day, 47 to 48 minutes. He's going to have to play. And, I mean, this could be the last game of the season. There's no tired. There's no tomorrow. Okay, every game from here on out for the Cavaliers is game seven. However, this will be game four, and this will end the series, in my opinion. Tonight is the sweep. We will see history. Fo-fo, okay, from the team that couldn't beat the regular season record set last year by the Golden State Warriors. Can they set it next year? It'll be interesting to see. This is going to be a tough team. 347-637-3859. It's Friday. I lock it up Friday. This is the Soul in Sports on right here on Fox Sports Radio. Now it's time to compare these. Oh, sorry. Let me get to some of the chat here. Let's see. Oh, that's Micah saying this stuff. Is it? Okay, Mike, you can say that stuff on your own. I don't have to read your comment. You're on the show. It's time to compare some of these Warriors to some of these great teams of the NBA. Speaking of the early 2000 Lakers, talking about the 90s Bulls, the Bad Boys. The Bad Boys considered one of the greats. Nobody really ever has them in a conversation. The 80s Lakers, of course, that comparison was made last year with the 80s Lakers and the Warriors, and then what happened? The Warriors turned around and lost the series. The Celtics dynasty back in the 60s. Okay, the 83 Sixers. Can these Warriors teams defeat any of those great teams that were some? I mean, those were some good teams, man. All those teams were good teams. This Warriors team is also good. Mike, I'll give you the floor first. Where do you see? Say it again.
No, I'm with you. I was saying it just depends on, because the hardest thing about comparing these teams is that they can't play each other unless you're playing NBA 2K Legend Mode or something like that. The thing about what Golden State is doing right now is that they're doing everything. Wiley can definitely back me up on this. They're doing a lot of ball movement, a lot of free-flowing movement with the ball, a lot of good passes. I mean, crying out loud, they led the lead in assists this year. Led the lead in just team assists. So it's ridiculous how much assists they give each other. But what I notice is that they do it so that the guys who are great knockdown shooters can just have even more open shots. The way you beat a team like that is, one, make sure they can't get out of transition, and you beat them up. Bad Boy Pistons, with the actual rules that they get to play, yes, the three-point line will be shorter, so it'll make three-point shots a little easier for Golden State, but do you think that Steph Curry will have enough time to shoot a three, turn around, and throw a Chippendale kick dealing with a Bad Boy Pistons team? No, he will not, especially if the foul that they'll give him won't be called a flagrant, but just a regular common foul. Okay, so Steph Curry, being as soft as he is, won't last that long. Slim Reaper, as soft as he is, won't last that long. Klay Thompson will be tough enough to hang in there, and he'll be a silent assassin. He'll probably be the toughest guy on that team because he does the least amount of talking and the least amount of showboating. The softest guy is actually Draymond Green because he does all the barking. Not only does he do all the barking, but he's the one that after they lost and choked to the Cavs, he's the first one that start begging Kevin Durant that they need to come there. The guy was supposed to be the toughest guy on that team. So, yeah, since Skip Bayless says it's a B move, and, you know, Skip Bayless don't use that language too much, so he actually called it that, then I know it's a B move, and every other man knows it's a B move, combined with Kevin Durant even wanting to join those guys. So you can't have a core group of guys like that if they're going to beat I'm just using the Detroit Pistons. Just using that team. I'm not talking about maybe another team that can be even more competitive, like the Showtime Lakers. Who does outside of Kevin Durant possibly guarding Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who do they have that can stop the Showtime Lakers? Honestly, who do they really have that can get physical and can dominate the Showtime Lakers? I understand that the three-point shooting will be the equalizer, but the defense that these guys will be able to play on them will stop them and prevent them from doing a lot of ball movement and a lot of that three-point shooting that made them the dynasty that they are today in this era, where you don't have to, where you can't play really physical defense until they start no calling in the playoffs like they've been doing.
Well, that's to answer your question, there aren't many players in NBA history that could stop Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Not many. Right. So if I had to break it down, right, let me see. Let's try to break it down a little bit. I would probably have to put KD or Klay Thompson on Magic. Okay. I will put Steph Curry on Byron Scott. I will put Klay Thompson or KD on James Worthy. I would have to put, I guess I would have to put Zsa Zsa on Kareem. I mean, who's stopping Kareem on any of these on any of these great teams?
Nobody's
stopping Kareem. So I mean, pick your poison there.
If I could say something, man. I mean, I you know, one thing that really bothers me when we compare
greatness from different eras. Like, we always have these discussions, especially when with all of us when we talk about boxing. You know what I mean? Like, we say, well, Floyd Mayweather is the greatest boxer ever. No, he's the greatest boxer of our era. Right now, we're in an era where the Golden State Warriors, just like in the NFL, the New England Patriots, are right now are their own dynasty. They are creating their own book. You know, that's why, like, every time we hear this on the Four Letter Network, also on Fox Sports, also on everything, that they try to compare one era different to the other, it makes absolutely no sense. Everyone has their greatness from their time, and that's it. I don't understand what is the obsession of comparing teams from different eras. That's one thing. Like, every time we have these discussions, it irks me. It just irks me.
Well, you know, if I can get a blind tag, you know, if I can get a blind tag on that, I'm going to answer your question right here, right now.
Yeah, for sure.
The reason why they need to do it is because certain guys, you know how we grow up, we get that era that we grew up in, certain guys don't want some people to threaten what they grew up with as the best. When we have a tendency to look back, and this is what I honestly believe about just human beings, we have a tendency to look back at our in our later stages of life on our former years as if it was grander than the next. So, but there's actual factual evidence to back up certain things, like, you know, the 90s and the 80s, a lot more physical than current than the 2000s and things like that. And so if you balance out everything with rules and all that stuff, you can say that. But really what it is that there are people in sports, in music, in all aspects of life, entertainment, that are threatening what we believe to be the best it was when we grow up. And that's this, and that this, this, the word I'm trying to, figure out the cognitive dissonance that occurs causes us to push back against it unless we assimilate it into our actual consciousness and then become okay with it. So most of it is just basic human cognitive dissonance that no one wants to admit or talk about. And Wally was talking about this on Twitter earlier. No one wants to talk about Jordan not being able to get out the first round. And at LeBron, in comparison, if you have to compare them, that LeBron was always able to get out the first round with probably about the same amount of talent that Michael Jordan had. No one wants to talk about that. They want to talk about 6-6. They want to talk about that LeBron can't go 6-6. He keeps losing. He keeps losing. That's what they want to talk about because they don't want the threats of the image of who Michael Jordan is. They don't want that to go away. They don't want that to go away at all. But logically, for those of us who are looking at it as intelligent sports fans, as you, I, Justin, and, excuse me, our host who's on assignment right now, Mr. Knox, even Brother Nimsy, we all are intelligent sports fans, so we're okay with people's individual greatness because we assimilated that and we rejected the cognitive dissonance. So that's what I think it is, Hugo, not to be all extra psychoanalytical, but I think that's what it is.
Your breakdown was for CNN.
Just saying. No, I don't like fake news.
347-637-3859. It's not really fake news. It's just talking heads. That's what people don't understand the difference between that. Real quick, we got Tom in LA that wanted to talk about a couple of things that we're talking about today. What's going on, Tom?
Hey guys, how you doing?
All right, what you got?
Nothing. So I guess you're talking about what, the Showtime Lakers against
The current Golden State Warriors against any of the greats, the 90s Bulls, the early 2000 Lakers, the Showtime Lakers, even the Bad Boy Pistons. We're talking about, I mean, the 60s Celtics, whatever the case may be. How do they stack up against the greats?
To me, what they have that, you know, other than if you go back to the 60s and, like, to me, you can start comparing current teams to past teams. Like, the realistic comparisons can happen in the 80s. Like, it is a little hard to compare, like, LeBron James to, like, Bob Cousy, who was, like, dribbling like my dad dribbles. But, like,
right.
And I'm sure it was much better than everyone else. But, like, yeah, like, the Warriors would beat the 50s Celtics by 9,000 points, probably. Like, I'm not going to compare them to that. But I think if you start looking in the – like, I just don't think there's a team – and I'm not saying this because, like, I'm looking at it now – but I don't think there's a team that, especially if you give the Warriors 2 or 3 years to gel, they can really hang with a fully healthy a Warriors team. So, because, like, one of the points I think is actually key here, right, that I haven't heard made, is that while I don't think LeBron James is by any means a better basketball player than Michael Jordan was, I would argue that in a situation like this, where you're up against a team that just has significantly more talent, that LeBron James is actually a – you'd rather have LeBron James on your team than Jordan. I know that might be an unpopular opinion, but I just feel like LeBron James presents more overall issues and can make more overall impact on a less talented team than potentially Jordan would have been able to in a similar situation. Like, anyone that's talking against LeBron at this point, the only, like, I would say the plus-minus stat is not necessarily the most important stat to ever take a look at, but when someone plays all, the whole game, you can look at it. LeBron James played 46 of 48 minutes last night. In those 46 minutes, the Cavs were plus 7. In the 2 minutes that he did not play, they were minus 12. 2 minutes. So, I mean, A, I just think, like, the confluence of circumstances that allowed this Warriors team to come together is just something we've never seen before, which is, you know, the CBA allowing the salary cap to increase by $35 million in a single year, which allowed the best team in the league that had won 73 games the prior year to sign arguably the second best player in the entire league. We just haven't ever seen a team like this in the modern era that has four all NBA players, right? Like, we've seen three. I don't think we've ever seen three that fit this perfectly together, but we've seen three, but the fourth guy is always a role player, right? He's always, it's always like a past their prime Ray Allen or a Byron Scott or like, or a Tony Kukoc. Like, the fourth best player on all these teams, the fourth best player on this team is pick your pick between Draymond Green or Thompson. And those guys are, they're all NBA players. Maybe not this year, but in my mind, they're all NBA players, right? And that's what the difference is, right? Like, and on top of that, they also have Iguodala, Livingston. They have David West playing for $1 million. They have Zaza playing for $1 million. Like, it's not like they've had to sacrifice that much. And with KD willing to take less, they're not going to have to sacrifice this much. So, like, I don't want to be too biased to the present, but I really do have a hard time. Like, I think that if you look at the 2011 Heat, I still think you could say, like, oh, the Showtime Lakers would have beaten them. The Bulls would have beaten them. But this Golden State team, just, like, they're perfect. They fit perfectly. Like, all their guys can play defense.
Well, the way they shoot the ball yeah, is unlike any other team that we've seen in recent history or probably in distant history in the NBA. They're probably the best shooting team ever in the history of the NBA. You know, where it comes to – people always like to say, well, what era? The rules are different and blah, blah, blah. This is true, the rules are different in the 90s and now. But it's still basketball. It's still basketball. If you're shooting the ball from the three-point line and making it, it's 3 points in any era. Okay. The only argument that I can really make personally for this team, for this Warriors team, is really the Kobe Shaq Lakers. That team, I think, with you know, Kobe could shoot, Rick Fox could shoot, Robert Horry could shoot. You know, Shaq was dominant down low. They don't have anybody that could deal with Shaq. Draymond Green definitely couldn't. Zsa Zsa Pachulia definitely couldn't. JaVale McGee definitely could not deal with Shaquille O'Neal. Okay. Who else did those Lakers have? I mean, they had Horace Grant one year. They had
Elvin Campbell.
Glenn Rice.
Nah, he was gone. They had a past his prime Glenn Rice. I mean, there was the year they had Malone and Payton. The thing is, though, and I think that when you're comparing the teams, right, it's very easy to look back, for example, and I guess we don't know as much about this, like, looking back 25 years, because we just don't have the information on teams that we have now. But, like, the Lakers with only Shaq and Kobe, I mean, I'm a big Lakers fan, they hated each other. Like, by the time the Pistons series came around in 2004, like, they basically were trying to go one-on-one to win a title, and they got destroyed. Like, the craziest thing about the Warriors is you have four superstars willing to sacrifice money, willing to sacrifice stats. Like, they're just, like, the Lakers were never like that. Like, it would have been Kobe trying to go one-on-one, followed by Shaq trying to go one-on-one. I will say that to beat this Golden State Warriors team, I don't think I think 2002 Shaq wouldn't have been able to run with this. I think you'd have to, like, try and get, like, a 1992 Shaq on this team because, like, I think Shaq is the type of player that would be needed to legitimately beat them because he's the kind of guy that could make Draymond Green just irrelevant. But
right.
And you, like, still, like, the fact that you need, like, 1993 Shaquille O'Neal to be talking about, like, how are we going to match up with this team, like, says about
the,
everything.
The not-as-big Shaquille O'Neal.
Right. Now, exactly.
Let me ask you before I let you go, I just want to ask you real quick two questions. I think I know the answer to one of them, but I'm going to ask you both anyway. One question is the series over? And the next question is, will it be a sweep? You there, Tom? I think we may have lost
Hello?
Tom. Did we lose Tom?
No,
there you go.
I'm back. Can you say that a second?
Sure,
one
sure. Two questions. Is the series over? And second question, will it be a sweep?
I mean, is the series over? Yes. No team has ever come back from 3-0 down, and I don't think the fact that we're sitting here
not
trying to find teams in the history of the NBA to match up with the Golden State Warriors isn't a good sign for the Cavs. So I'd say yes, the series is over. And is it a sweep? I hope it's not a sweep as a basketball fan because, like, you know, I'm not a baseball fan, and that leaves us with a whole bunch of nothing.
Hey, but Tom, we got the draft come up and the summer league.
Yeah, that's true. I'm excited. I mean,
that's what I'm looking forward to.
You know what? Yes. You know what? I'm going to go out and say it's not a sweep. I'm going to say the Cavs win tonight, even though 99% of me says I shouldn't be saying that and that it's probably a sweep. But I'm going to go ahead and say the Cavs take one and it ends in five.
Okay, there you have it. Tom from LA says the game tonight will be Cavaliers. The Cavaliers will win tonight, but the series is over. Hey, Tom, thanks for your call, man. As always, I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks,
right,
guys.
Take it easy.
Yep.
That's Tom in LA calling over from the left coast, from the west coast. Hugo, Micah, what do you say about Tom's take there? I like what he said. I like a lot of what he said. What you guys feel about it? And Brother Noopsy says it's a sweep, by the way. Hey, Mike and Hugo, you guys there?
Brother Noopsy is smoking. That's all. No, I'm kidding. Brother Noopsy is not smoking. I'm just kidding, Brother Noopsy. It's just like he said, man. It's just one of those things. How do you really come about stopping him? And I can see why he could pick that Lakers team. That Lakers team had a lot of firepower, and that was the thing that really broke them up was just the discord between Kobe and Shaq. And, I mean, you win championships and you don't like each other. I mean, it's fantastic. And this Golden State Warriors team, I think one of the differences is that the Lakers team that he referred to, that Tom referred to, had two alphas and everybody else was betas. Two alphas, everybody else. And, you know, depending on where you are, there's some people that got some really strong type A personalities. Kobe Bryant's a guy who had a very strong type A personality. Shaq has a very strong type A personality. He seems maybe goofy and laid back, but when it comes to being on the basketball court, he becomes type A. And some people, and not everybody, can work with a type A personality. Kevin Durant, honestly, if we be honest, he's a beta male. He's a beta male. He's not an alpha. And we saw that because he acquiesced to Russell Westbrook, who was, if Kevin Durant had any kind of alpha in him, it was 10% to Russell Westbrook's 100%. Russell Westbrook is a 100% alpha. Michael Jordan, 100% alpha, you know. And I think that one of the things that makes this Golden State Warriors team different than that team is that everyone's willing to be a beta just so that they can become the alpha team. So they understand the concept of letting it go for the team, which is fine. They were like that before Kevin Durant got there. The thing about the Golden State Warriors is that they built it under Mark Jackson and now under Steve Kerr. You know, they built themselves a culture from the draft, from very few free agents, and they built themselves a culture in which the team concept and that team defense and all that stuff meant something. So Mark Jackson gave them everything they needed from a defensive standpoint. Then Steve Kerr finished the job with everything from an offensive standpoint. You have a team defensive-minded, offensive free-flowing team that didn't need Kevin Durant, added Kevin Durant. It's like Jason Whitlock said it best. you the little brother that got in a fight with somebody, that you started a fight with somebody, you talk a lot of trash, you thought you had him, you lost, then you went and got your big brother, and now you and your big brother beating up on the kid that you was talking trash to that you thought you could, that you thought you could beat up on your own. So
I've seen
that, like,
happen in real life too. Seen that happen in real life. Now, let's go back to the show, not the Showtime, but the Kobe Shaq Lakers, and the, because I'm gonna go through the lineup. I like to go lineup for lineup, right? So I'm gonna ask you, and Hugo, I want you to chime in on this too. With the Kobe Shaq Lakers, okay, you got Derek Fisher, you had Kobe, you had who was the three on that team? You had Rick Fox, okay, you had Robert Horry, who was actually, I think, the sixth man, but I'm gonna put him in the starting lineup for the sake of argument. And yes, Shaquille O'Neal. Okay. So here's what I'm doing. If I am the Lakers and I'm playing these Warriors, here's what I'm doing. Okay. And there's some holes in this plan, but just hear me out. Kobe's going to guard Steph a majority of the time. Okay, it's just going to happen. That's what's going to happen. He's going to harass Steph to a point where Steph, if Steph wants to shoot three-pointers, he's going to have to shoot them off in 35 feet because Kobe's going to harass Steph. All right, I'm putting Rick Fox. I'm putting him on KD. I'm sorry, not Rick Fox. Robert Horry, I'm putting on KD. All right. Shaq and Zaza are probably just going to have to wash each other out because I don't think Shaq is going to really have to – is going to stay with Draymond, okay? I might have to put a Rick Fox on – I mean, a Derek Fisher on Clay, which could cause a mismatch, but that's where they would have to take advantage. And then Rick Fox would have to guard Draymond, which would probably be another mismatch. Okay. excuse me. That being said, with that defensive strategy, can those Lakers beat these Warriors? Hugo, what say you?
I'm going to be biased because I am a Laker fan. So absolutely. I definitely do think they can. But again, like I said, I totally different game. But I see your blueprint. And I do believe, though, that the Lakers, the 2003, if I'm not mistaken, when they three-peated, I definitely do believe that the Lakers can go toe with these Golden State Warriors. I actually do like the blueprint. I actually do like the way that you, excuse me, the matchups that you actually put against them. And I do believe that the Lakers can. It's just the Lakers were just so star-powered. I mean, especially just by saying Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant in the same sentence, even though they didn't see eye to eye, they were unstoppable, Jay Chris. And you saw them all the way through three-peating. They were just unstoppable. Yes, I do think. And again, I would like to revisit this, you know, this comparison if, and again, it's an if, and it's not even a big if, because I think it's going to happen. If these Golden State Warriors continue on the path of destruction, which is what they've been doing this whole entire season, into 2 or 3 years from now, then maybe things could definitely change. Because the way this team is looking, Jay Chris, let's be real, man, they're looking unstoppable. And I don't
think
any team from
anybody
can be able to stop them.
Yeah, they look extremely unstoppable. Brother Lucy says Jordan Bulls sweep Kobe's Lakers. Magic Lakers win in five. I don't understand all what's happening, but he says Penny's Magic win when the older rule. Okay, I can't understand all that, but he says Jordan's Bulls sweep Kobe's Lakers.
I don't know what's wrong with Brother Nevi there.
I disagree with Jordan's Bulls sweep Kobe's Lakers. It's all a matter of opinion there, because honestly, I think Jordan's the second team, I believe, you know, but the second three-peat was a super team. Kobe's Bulls, I mean, Kobe's Lakers was, I think, as close to a super team as you can get with it not being considered a super team.
Jake, okay. He says Jordan's Bulls could sweep the Golden State Warriors. Kobe's Lakers Magic win in five, I believe, is what he's saying. I think that if I'm getting that correct,
Jordan's Bulls
sweep
Golden State. Kobe's Lakers, with winning five. You saying?
Yeah, Kobe's – okay, Kobe's Lakers would win in five. Magic's Lakers will win in five. Even Shaq and Penny's, I believe he means they win in five. Okay. Okay, yeah, yeah, that's exactly what he said. Come on.
That's Brother Nimsy checking in.
I want to know what Brother Nimsy is partaking as his special herb treatment, because whatever that is, I probably need some too, especially only because he mentioned Orlando. That's the only reason.
Yeah, that's
why.
What I was just thinking, Michael.
That's not.
No, I don't think they didn't mention Orlando. Oh, he did. Said Penny.
No, he did. He just said it. He just said Shaq and Penny.
He said Penny Hardaway and the Magic against the Golden State. What?
They were a very fun team, but they weren't a great team. They were a fun team to watch. But let's not forget Penny's team got swept in the finals too.
Penny's team was used to brooms.
There were two, probably three very fun teams to watch. Well, I should say two very fun teams to watch in the '90s were the Penny Shaq Lakers. I mean the Penny Shaq Magic,
mm-hmm.
and the Gary and Sean Kemp Sonics. Those were the teams everybody really wanted to see in the finals go at it. Those were the teams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They were the running gun teams. It would have been nasty. It would have been fun to see. We didn't get a chance to see it, but, you know, it is what it is. But though I can't consider the – only because they don't have a championship, I really can't consider that Penny Shaq team great. I mean, they could have been
good. They're good.
They had the recipe. If they stayed together, they probably would have been great. That's probably one of the greatest teams that we can't really call great. Because they were really good.
There's a difference between being good and being great. Obviously, they were good. They were good enough, but enough wasn't enough, obviously. However, for what Brother Neasy says about Jordan's Bulls sweeping these Golden State Warriors, I think that's far-fetched as well. I don't think they would sweep. They would beat them for sure. And just like I said in my previous comment with these 2000 Lakers, if we could, in two or three years, I would love to come back on this show and actually revisit this topic, because it's like we said, Jay Chris, this team is unstoppable, dude, and it's going places. They are becoming the New England Patriots of the NBA.
You know what's funny, Hugo? You say that, and I agree with you. In two or three years from now, we may not even be talking about these Warriors. Just like two or three years ago, we were saying, can this Miami Heat team beat the Bulls, beat the Lakers? But we're not even discussing that team anymore. It's very hard in this time, in this day and age, to keep these teams together, especially these strong teams with these stars together.
Exactly.
I really feel like,
the only way they can do is if everyone thinks like Tom Brady, the only way a super team like Golden State can stay together is if they absolutely don't care about the money. Can you imagine Steph saying, just give me 10? Katie said, just give me 10. All of them just said, no, just give me 10, and then we can go ahead and stack ourselves even more with other guys who get paid the same amount that we do.
This is what helps with that, okay? KD is a star. Clay's a star. Steph's a star. Draymond's a star, right? They can take pay cuts and really not be hurt by it because of the endorsements they all have. Which in the early 80s, in the 70s, 60s, was not the case, right? These guys wanted to get paid in the 90s. Guys wanted to get paid because really the only person that was really getting endorsements like that back in the 90s was Mike, okay? Early 2000s, Shaq had his endorsements. Kobe had his endorsements. Yeah, you know, Allen Iverson had a couple. Tim Duncan wasn't – he was cool. It's funny. Guys go to the Spurs and just be very quiet. Tim Duncan, Kawhi Leonard. But guys can supplement their salary with what they make in endorsements, and they can go to their job as a basketball player, take less money, and bring in better players, and be a historical. They can be a team that people talk about forever. All right, people talk about the '60s Celtics forever. They'll talk about the '90s Bulls forever. Okay, this can be a team that if they stay selfless. Continue to get endorsed because Klay Thompson has a sneaker deal in China, right? We don't even see in the United States, we don't, but China is probably the second biggest, not the biggest basketball country as far as fanship and viewership in the world. Klay is making that China money. There's other players too, but Klay is probably the biggest star with a Chinese sneaker deal right now. Okay, so I mean, think about it that way. We can see this happen over an extended period of time where you have players with multiple endorsements. And Michael, let's get the outro ready because this is the hour and power is almost done. When you see multiple endorsements getting that money, and all they got to do is stay, keep their nose clean, keep their endorsements, and they're going to get that money. We may see this for a very, very long time. Guys, you got any last words? We're out of here in about a minute.
It's a sweep. It's a sweep.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, my Ooh. Gosh. You will be seeing that UFC fight night?
I forgot there was a UFC this weekend, man. I've just been
That's probably because it's Lewis against Hunt in the heavyweight showdown, and no one cares. Just kidding.
Yep, there you go.
Well, there it is. Hey, Michael, let's get that song ready if you got it. If not, we're just going to go out with this, man. Hey, we'll see you next week. We might be talking about the Game 4 sweep, or we might be talking about a Game 5. So keep it locked to Fox Sports, of course, right here on BDSR Network. Keep it right locked to the Soul in Sports. And we'll see you next week, and we'll have something to talk about. Even if we don't, we're going to talk about something. We'll see y'all. Peace.
Peace.
You're talented. I'm God-gifted. It does serve a difference.